First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, LouisvillePolitics.com, and EdSpringston.com, where you can go for all the latest we've got going on. I tell you, while you're there, I sound like a country hick, don't I? But while you're there at LouisvillePolitics.com, please don't forget to join our email newsletter, and we'll make sure that everything we update gets sent to you on a weekly or a monthly basis, your choice. And join the RSS feed, and we'll make sure that you get the latest podcast of every show. That way you don't miss anything that's going on right here at MVM Radio. And if you don't mind, and you just happen to think about it, go a little bit further to the right and click on that little donate button. Yes, your donations are what keeps this alive. So we've been able to be successful for about the last few years, and we rely a lot on your personal donations, and we really appreciate that. In the meantime, numbers are call in, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the chat room, or I'm sorry, in the listening queue, forgive me. As always, we appreciate you being there, but please hit that number 1 on your dial pad so we know that you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, we do have the chat room open, so if you'd like to jump into a live chat to get your opinion across, please feel free to do so. And you can do that by signing in via Facebook or Twitter if you don't have a BTR account. So we try to make it as easy as we can to make sure we get to hear from you. With that being said, here we go. A lot going on. We spent the show last night. You might want to go back and listen to the replay of that. Our show last night, I spent a lot of time talking about this minimum wage discussion here in Louisville and how it's going to destroy what's left, what little bit of economy we have here, really. And, you know, anyway, we knew that this was sponsored, and all 17 council Democrats actually signed an opinion piece supporting raising the minimum wage that was posted in the Courier-Journal back in May. But it's interesting now, because now Michael Connell's office, as we mentioned last night, has said, hey, go ahead and pass one. I can't see anything that's going to stop you. And, of course, the Metro Council Democrats have already decided they're going to go ahead. The Democratic lawmakers already got a proposal ready. They're moving forward with the proposal. And here comes the doomsday switch to Louisville. Yes, yes, you guessed it. But what's really fascinating here is one of the things that they're going to try to do, and this is another disturbing thing we didn't spend a lot of time on last night, but this is another disturbing thing about this. One of the issues that really need to be talked about, and they're going to be talked about, is when you look at the tipped workers, such as your restaurant workers and those kind of guys. The game plan is to try to get them on a minimum wage as well. The problem is, how are you going to do that? Because if you put the waiters and waitresses on a regular scale, on a pay scale of minimum wage, guess what? They're not going to get tipped anymore. They're not going to get tipped. And, you know, and let's be totally honest here. I mean, I know several people that are in the restaurant industry and the service industry part of that are waiters and waitresses. I've got friends that do that for a living. They do not want this minimum wage guarantee for the most part. Most of them do not want this minimum wage because they will lose money. They will lose money. It's that simple. Because once they start having to get paid $10 an hour or $7 an hour, whatever the minimum wage is going to be for a while, once they start getting paid that, people aren't going to go ahead and just tip them generously like they do now. They're not going to get 18 to 20% on tips on average. That's gone. The restaurants are going to have to raise their prices on their food because the servers, you know, your full-service restaurants that have waiters and waitresses, you know, once they have to start paying these people regular hourly wages instead of the tipped wages that they get paid now, guess what? Bye-bye. Those prices are going to go through the roof. If you got to pay more for your food, that's less money you're going to give to your server. That's one more person who's going to have to go to the government and say, hey, I need help. That's one more person who's going to have to drag on, try to make it on your tax dollar from the government because they can't make it on their own. We're taking it away from them. So these kind of things are stuff that nobody wants to look about. Nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to think about. And this is a serious issue. So that's one issue they're not even looking at. Or haven't come up with any plan yet, I should say. And of course, the Republicans on the council are right. If you raise minimum wage in Louisville higher than the surrounding counties, you just screwed the pooch. It's going to make it awful hard for any employer to add new jobs. And right now, we need jobs. I mean, it's that simple. We need jobs. We can't get jobs. We're losing hand over fist to places like Bullitt County, the border of Jefferson County. You know, we're losing jobs hand over fist to the surrounding counties for the few jobs that do come into Kentucky because of our high tax structure. We're losing to them right now because we're the fourth highest tax city in the nation. So all of these things are into play, and yet these fools want to continue talking about we've got to raise minimum wage almost $3 an hour. It's nuts. It's stupid. But like we told you, all they had to do was get permission. And once they got permission, bam, they've already got a proposal ready to go. So look forward to this coming soon to a town or to a street near you here in Louisville. I tell you, we've got all kinds of other problems as well. I mean, we look at the Cordish Group. We have spent countless hours, done countless articles on Cordish Group and the fallacy of 4th Street Live. We have discussed the fact that we believe that they're a racist at 4th Street Live. We have discussed the fact that this city continues channeling money to Cordish Group because of the Democratic connections all the way up to and including Jerry Abramson and Governor Steve Beshear. We pointed this stuff out so many times it's unreal. So you can imagine how unsurprised we were that we have yet another lawsuit alleging racial discrimination filed against Maker's Mark Bourbon House and Lounge there on 4th Street Live. William Green, the owner of SoFly Entertainment, has alleged in his suit that he was at an event in August of 2012, and he was basically thrown out. Said the bar representative expressed concern about the racial makeup of the event. You're right. Expressed concern about racial makeup of the event. So the Cordish companies were named in this lawsuit because they are they're the owner of 4th Street Live. But it's really interesting because this kind of stuff continues coming up. This isn't the first lawsuit that's been filed against the Cordes Group, you know, 4th Street Live here in Louisville. This isn't the first time this happened. Zed Smith, the director of operations at 4th Street Live, said he hasn't seen the lawsuit yet, but he believes it's basically regarding the same type of incident or something that was raised in 2012. You know, what's really interesting here is, you know, Green, the guy who filed the lawsuit, alleged that Maker's Mark tried to change the terms and condition of the contract usage of the facility because of the racial makeup of the guest. Mr. Green is black. You're not going to see any black people down at 4th Street Live. You just don't, because they're treated differently. We have all kinds of stories around the country, from Kansas City and beyond, of this type of exact treatment by Cordish-owned entertainment districts. And, you know, it does appear on the surface to be a serious problem. That's just the way it is. Green says that this event was open to the public. It was not only a celebration of his birthday, he had rented the place to celebrate his birthday, but it was also being used as a fundraiser for school supplies for charitable organizations in the black community. So here a guy is, he's renting the place out, turning his own birthday into a fundraiser to try to help disadvantaged kids get school supplies for school. And according to him, you know, they made changes the conditions on the day of the event. Apparently, this included beverage purchases. You know, they also weren't happy about the fact that he brought a DJ with him and those kind of things. So, you know, it's interesting. But what's really interesting here is that this is another interesting part of this. And we'll move on in a second. But Zed Smith, as I said, is the director of operations at 4th Street Live. And Zed Smith actually has a comment. This is in the Courier-Journal story today. But Zed Smith actually has a comment who says, "I'm in charge of operations of 4th Street Live, and I happen to be African-American. And the idea that I or anyone at 4th Street Live would tolerate any discrimination is beyond absurd." What kind of a world does Zed Smith live in? He's African-American, so he is automatically... Because he happens to be an African-American, he automatically is above and beyond being accused of any discrimination whatsoever. You know, you look at everything we've continued to talk about, your Al Sharpton's, your Jesse Jackson's, and all these other folks out there, all these false prophets and false leaders, you know, who are some of the most discriminatory people that we could ever even imagine, who just happen to be African-American, right? So the absurdity of that statement is not lost on me. It's not lost on me at all. I'm an African-American. Why in the world would anyone think I would tolerate discrimination? You know, come on, Smith, get over yourself and quit trying to act the fool, because that's exactly what this is. You know, when I read comments like that, I kind of have to wonder, maybe there's a lot more to these allegations. You know, it really does. It makes you believe that there's a lot more to these allegations when you've got to put a front man out there who happens to be an African-American to tell the whole world why this couldn't happen, because I would never allow discrimination. Look at me. I'm black. Come on. Come on. So I'm curious to see how this lawsuit works out. Interestingly enough, and you know, this is Jacob Payne over at thevillevoice.com. You got to give this man credit. Me and Jacob don't see eye to eye on anything. You know, a lot of people think me and Jake are mortal enemies, including Jake. That's not a lifestyle I hold on to, but let him think what he wants. But the reality is he has done one hell of a job outing the Louisville Metro Animal Services and trying to hold these people accountable to abusing animals. Well, thanks to Jake's work over the last couple of years, and I do mean it's been a couple of years. I mean, this isn't something that's just been a month or two. The Metro Council is finally involved in investigating what in the world is going on at LMAS. According to a former employee there, you know, she said that they weren't taking care of a dog. In this particular case that they're investigating, there's a dog named Sadie. Rebecca Eves, the founder and president of the Arrow Fund, which is a nonprofit group that helps with medical treatment of animals who've been abused, neglected, or tortured, had gotten a hold of Sadie. And when they got her, she was in critical shape. Anyway, everyone tried to get money to get the surgeries and things that were necessary for Sadie. Sadie came into the care of LMAS in March of 2013 and was euthanized in March of 2014. Former LMAS employee had actually taken the dog and fostered the dog, cared for the dog, raised money for the dog so that they could amputate its mangled front leg, raised money for the amputation, did everything. Heather Atkins is her name. She actually resigned this past May. But, you know, she said the dog was happy and everything for a while. The leg wasn't bothering her. But after a few months, you know, the leg started bothering Sadie. And you know, ultimately it created some problems. You know, what problems did it create? Well, Sadie started, you know, basically eating her own leg. Began to self-mutilate her own leg back in December by gnawing on her paw and things like that. Meanwhile, all the efforts of this former employee trying to save Sadie, involving, you know, the Arrow Fund and everybody else, as near as we can tell, didn't matter. LMAS had this dog in their possession and refused to get this dog medical treatment. Do they not have veterinarians on staff at LMAS? Do they not have veterinarians that they use for LMAS? I mean, think about this, folks. They don't even have a real leader right now. Of course, they haven't had a real leader in years. You know, this is what's been going on. LMAS is fast becoming known as an abusive animal shelter. I don't think there's any other way to describe that, in my opinion. Jacob Payne has laid out a lot of compelling, damning evidence against LMAS, and you can really truthfully lay these kind of problems now right at the feet of Mayor Greg Fisher and Sadiqua Reynolds. That's it. Those are the people who are destroying LMAS. It's very disturbing. So now the council is investigating, you know, and Mayor Fisher and them are now saying that they can't talk about or give any evidence or anything else because now they have got, the mayor's office has went to the Public Integrity Unit and asked them to investigate what happened with Sadie and the problems at LMAS. You know, they could have done this years ago. Everybody's been asking for that. Jake Payne led the way in asking for that, asking for a full investigation. Nothing was done, but only now that this story went public because this former employee decided to take it there, this is where sunshine helps you, folks. This is why you got to stand up sometimes. Sadie couldn't stand up for herself, but Rebecca could stand up for her. So, you know, you look at this, you know, Fisher's general counsel, Kelly Watson, and we could go horror stories about that too, gave council members CDs that supposedly contained information that had already been provided to the public or media through requests. So basically all she did was give the council a list of the open record requests and the information they supplied. All right, that's not that's not telling them what's really going on. You know, and according to Watson, Greg Fisher's general counsel, the reason they did it this way was that they didn't want to compromise any of the rights of the individuals that you requested due to the fact that there's a public integrity investigation underway. You know, now this is ridiculous. Kelly Downer, Councilman Kelly Downer, who's co-chair of the committee, you know, said that members do not want to compromise the investigation. But, you know, the PIU, the Public Integrity Unit, was already looking into this before Greg Fisher requested anything. So they're playing smoke and mirrors at the mayor's office to cover their butts once again because they got caught. The PIU was already doing an investigation. The mayor didn't request squat until after it was already going on. The very next day, Greg Fisher says, hey, will you guys investigate this? And he did that publicly. And then he criticized the Metro Council for appointing an investigative committee, you know, without first receiving the information that the animal services team had offered for weeks to provide them. Those are his words. Again, this is from the Courier Journal. I'm going to let you get a couple of their articles today. You know, so when you look at this, without first receiving the information that LMAS had offered for weeks to provide them, this is garbage. This is garbage. Kelly Danner went on record and said the administration offered to have people meet with the council members privately, but since this story was all over the public arena, in large part thanks to Jacob Payne, he's the one that began this whole show, and I've got to give the man credit. He may not like me, and I may not have much for him, but I got to give the man credit when he does the right job. You know, and so all of this is out in the public arena, so Kelly Danner said that they did not want to meet privately, that they felt since it was in the public arena that it should be transparent. Now, I will tell you, I take a little bit of exception to Kelly Downer's wording on that, because as far as I'm concerned, everything should be transparent. You don't qualify and say, well, since it's in the public arena, now we need to be transparent. No, it should be transparent at all times. However, that doesn't change the context of what's really going on here. You know, the committee, the investigative committee, the council committee, had asked members of the administration to appear yesterday's meeting. They included Steve Rowland, the chief financial officer. this is a joke of the year here. Sadiqa Reynolds, the chief of community building. Sadiqa Reynolds wouldn't know how to build a community. She wouldn't know how to build a daggone Lego house on her kitchen table, okay? She's clueless. She's clueless. She's nothing but a Democrat appointee that they can abuse and use and let her do all the daggone heavy work for them. They're ridiculous. So she supposedly oversees the department for the administration. She doesn't do anything. I mean, she's dumb as rocks, in my opinion. She's nothing more than a political hack. That's it. That's what I think of Sadiqa Reynolds. And I really don't care if she likes it when she hears this replay. And she will hear this replay. They all do. So it's not, you know, I don't care. LMAS Assistant Director Donald Robinson was another one who was asked. And Margaret Brosco, she's a former LMAS official who now works in Fisher's Communications Office. Well, you know, Brosco's got her own problems. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, according to all reports, Robinson had told Donald Robinson, the LMAS Assistant Director Donald Robinson, had actually told the CJ last week that they had intended to cooperate fully with the investigation the council has started. But Mayor Fisher spokesman Chris Pointer says that the mayor changed his mind when they asked the Public Integrity Unit to investigate. As I just pointed out, the Public Integrity Unit was investigating before Mayor Fisher said a word to them. The only reason he went to them and tried to publicize that he asked for this investigation was to cover his ass, because the investigation was already underway. So then they go play this doublespeak, smoke and mirrors game in the public eye. In the meantime, we've got animals who are being severely tortured and abused, in my opinion. Sadie is a prime example, dropping the ball. There were donations coming in from everywhere to help this animal. LMAS has been a nightmare since the days of Gilles Moloch and Jerry Abramson. Nobody cares about LMAS in the administration. The Democratic administration doesn't care about that. They didn't under Abramson. They don't under Fisher. And to sit here and lie to us, you know, and tell us you're going to cooperate and you're not going to cooperate because you're going to play this bullshit backdoor game is ridiculous. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I really love my animals. The way you treat old people and the way you treat animals tells you about the character of a person. And the character of any of these people is the one thing that they all have in common, I guess, is their lack of character. It's disgusting. It's shameful. And Mayor Fisher's administration needs to be held accountable. And we, the people, need to hold the guys accountable for not doing their job and then trying once again to lie about it. We need the transparency because we need accountability. It's that simple. It really, truly is. You know, we've got to move on, I understand, but man, when it comes to animal abuse and things like that, you know, child abuse, those things are disturbing. They really, really are. It's pathetic, it's imbecile, it's childlike, and it's downright disgusting that elected officials think that's okay. And it's no different than the guy who owns the catering company up at Lucas Oil Stadium for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if you guys saw that video. It went all over the internet a couple of days ago. The owner of the catering company that catered at the Indianapolis Colts games, Lucas Oil Stadium, was caught by a daggone closed-circuit camera, video camera, in an elevator, just kicking the holy hell out of a dog. His dog on a leash. Kicking that dog, jerking that dog by the leash, raising it up, choking him, all kinds of stuff. Well, that's not who I am. That's not something I do. Bullshit. You got caught doing what you do every day. That guy should be in jail, and Lucas Oil Stadium and the Indianapolis Colts should get rid of his contract and get rid of him as any kind of a vendor there whatsoever. People like that should have to pay for mistakes because they're scum. Just the same, in my opinion, as Sadiqa Reynolds and everybody in the Fisher administration who is scum, trying to cover up the abuse of this poor, defenseless animal and this employee, Rebecca, who was taking care of him, care of her, I should say, suffered for it and finally had to daggone resign in May because she just couldn't handle it. Should have never been in that position. And I tell you, I'm getting more and more disgusted every day. And I'm getting more and more disgusted with Democrats every day. This next story is a good reason why. According to CN2.com, ICN2, which is a local channel here in Louisville, we know we got a big election going on this year. And here in Kentucky, the Republicans, who have 46 members in the House, the Democrats have 54. Republicans think they've got a shot to grab the control of the State House of Representatives for the first time since 1921, folks. That's how long the Democrats have had control of the State House here in Kentucky. That's almost 100 years. Are you kidding me? And we wonder why we can't get ahead. But I tell you, Democrats are so concerned that the Republicans may be right this year, they're really doing some stupid stuff. We'll get to Allison Grimes and Mitch McConnell here in a minute, but I'm really fascinated with this story coming out of CN2 today because we're looking at this, and we are now finding out that, we've talked a long time about polling. Well, public policy polling, we have told you guys forever that they're not to be trusted, that we don't believe that they're credible public policy polling. We don't believe they're credible polling. I've never believed it. I've been very honest about that from the very beginning, as soon as I heard their name years ago. But I think this story of CN2 proves it. I'm going to go ahead and drop that link into the chat room for you guys, but I think you really need to read it. But it's fascinating because when you look at this story, you're seeing what's really going on. There's a difference between doing a public opinion poll and doing a push poll. There's a big difference in it. But when you can't even hide the fact that there's a push poll, a very obvious, push, and a serious problem if you want somebody to take your company seriously, like public policy polling. According to this story from CN2, public policy polling are the ones typically have done the surveys for Democrats, but now we're finding out that five incumbent Republicans here in Kentucky have been getting automated calls from public policy polling to voters in their districts that tell them positive things about Democratic candidates, and then they criticize a Republican candidate. Is that a poll? Aston Lundgren Grimes is a wonderful human being. Mitch McConnell is a scumbag. Who are you going to vote for? You see what I mean? And no, I didn't mean that the way it is because I think Allison Leonard Grimes is dumb as rocks. But you see what I mean? That's not a poll. That's a push poll. All right? And that's exactly what's been going on. The Nelson County Gazette had received an audio recording of one of those calls. And in their particular area, Audrey Hayden is the Democratic candidate. And, they were being told positive remarks about her and everything else, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, they go on and start chastising Representative David Floyd, you know, because he's the incumbent GOP Republican candidate. This is not a poll, folks. This is why you can't take these people seriously. And I would really hope that after this story makes it around the internet, believe me, it's flying right now, I would really hope that public policy polling goes out of business. What do you got, two or three guys sitting in an office and hit an autocaller, you know, 300-400 people at a time for them? Just to lie, cheat, and screw us up and lie to the daggone electorate? That's not a poll. You know, these are the kind of things that are very disturbing. They really are. I mean, if you take a look at this, let's take David Floyd, for example. Okay. You know, according to the phone call, the audio of the phone call, again, talks good about Audrey Hayden, all right, his opponent, the Democratic candidate, and then goes on to talk about Floyd, you know, and says that Floyd would allow even the most hyenas of criminals, including cop killers and child murderers, to get away with their actions. I'm reading this right from the CN2 story, folks. That is what's going out on this poll call, all right? Of course, it doesn't say that, you know, Senator Gerald Neal here in Louisville, one of the most prominent Democrats we have in the House, has been as vocal of a proponent against the death penalty as Floyd has been. But he's a Democrat. You can't say that about him, right? This is disturbing. If you want to talk about Audrey Hayden, the automated recording tells the voters about her family and her background. They tell everybody on the automated recording that she's the granddaughter and daughter of public school teachers and works for her father's law firm representing injured workers. And that goes on. Just tell the whole world that David Floyd is a piece of scum who wants to put murderers on the street. I mean, come on. Come on, seriously. Public policy polling? This is a poll? This isn't a poll. I don't understand how they even think that they can do that. Republican candidate Phil Moffitt, right here in Louisville, you know, he's in the 32nd district. You know, he was attacked as well. Suzanne Miles in Owensboro, Ryan Quarles in Georgetown, and Michael Meredith in Brownsville. You know, this is disturbing. This is really, really disturbing. You know, and of course, the July phone calls apparently began in mid to late July. The July phone calls, you know, actually ended by saying that the poll was conducted by public policy polling and paid for by Kentucky Family Values. For those of you who don't know who Kentucky Family Values is, they're a super PAC that works on behalf of Democrats in the House races. Yep, you guessed it. But remember, Democrats don't do this thing, right? Now, according to Kentucky Democratic Party Chairman Dan Logsdon, he told Pure Politics that the state party will be conducting polling in targeted races. But he wouldn't comment when they would be doing the polling or if the current calls are paid for by the party. Now, that's what you got to look at here. He couldn't comment. This is the Kentucky Democratic Party Chairman, Dan Logsdon, and he could not comment on if the current paid for by the party. You know, that's always the go-to answer, no comment, right? How many times do we hear that no comment turns out to be exactly what happened? If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, chances are, folks, it's probably a duck, not a chicken, okay? And, of course, Kentucky Family Values told Pure Politics today that they use public policy polling to do their polling, but they are these calls that they're going out this month in August are not being conducted by Kentucky Family Values. Now, in July, they put the disclaimer out there that this is brought to you by, you know, public policy polling. The August calls, they just eliminated that last sentence. Same people making the calls, folks. This is just the thing. I mean, it just makes it very, very disturbing. This is what it's come to. This is why people don't go vote. They can't get accurate information. And don't think for one second that these parties don't know this. This is why they do it. You suppress the vote. You try to energize the base of consistent voters. There's not one person out there who gets a voter list and doesn't go through their voter list and put some kind of a mark next to every voter. Not one. I mean, I'm guilty of that. I've run for office. And the first thing you do, the first people you try to contact, for me, I use the four-star system. 4 stars is somebody who voted in every election. 1 star is somebody who's registered, never votes. 2 and 3, you can imagine where you go from there. All right? Sources. I didn't have these parties backing me or funneling money into me like they do everybody else. No, I had to go it alone. So my limited resources, the first people I was going to contact were the ones that I knew were going to vote. Those were my 4-star people. Okay? And that's exactly what they do. They want to keep the 1 and 2 voters a 1 and 2. They don't want them to show up because it'll mess up their strategy and mess up their numbers on the voter turnout. They can't control that. The more people that vote, the less control the parties have over the vote. It's that simple and it's that true. Both Democrats and Republicans, the Uniparty, that is why they go to this negative role. That's why they do these stupid things. It's all about lying, cheating, and stealing to make sure that the party gets what they want. There's not one elected person in Congress at any level, especially right here in Louisville or right here in the state. There's not one, Republican or Democrat, in my opinion, that really cares about the people and want to represent the people. They're in there for the right reasons. Because for some reason, once they get there, it becomes about them maintaining their power, maintaining their job. More importantly, it comes down to them maintaining the power of the party. In today's elections and today's elected officials, it's not of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's of the party, by the party, and for the party. They just use we the people to give them the power to do so. That's it. We're an afterthought. When you see asinine crap like this, you see a Kentucky Democratic Party chairman, Dan Loxton, with no comment. You see Kentucky Family Values admitting that they use these people, and they're saying they didn't have anything to do with this call. Maybe they didn't. Or maybe I can call bullshit. Because that's what it looks like from here. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, and I apologize for the language, I am really frustrated at some of the things I'm reading today. It's disturbing as hell. When we get back from break, we're going to get into this secret recording that Alison Lonergan Grimes, or Alison Wonderland Grimes, as we call her here, is praying to God takes Mitch McConnell out of the race. This secret recording is so bad that, Mitch McConnell should just go ahead and kill herself now, apparently. I don't know. It's laughable at best how desperate she has become, and I'll explain why when we get back. You're listening to the Ed Springson Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Man, I tell you, you know, you just get so frustrated sometimes. And today is one of those days. I mean, it's just comical to me what goes on. Welcome back to the Ed Springer Show right here on the IBM Radio Network. If you guys want to call in, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. And don't forget, for you folks who are in the listening queue at this time, please make sure you hit the number 1 on your dial pad, and I will know that you want to get on air. You know, we went into break, and I'm talking about this recording. Well, as we know, there was a so-called secret recording that was made by two guys, Sean Riley and Kurt Morrison in Louisville, of this meeting that Mitch McConnell had with his staff. It was an illegally recorded meeting, in my opinion. And anyway, you know, and everybody tried to make this a big issue, going to Mother Jones and all these other liberal outlets to try to nail Mitch McConnell, because he referred to, you know, this is when they were looking at Ashley Judd running for, you know, against Mitch McConnell. They were going to throw her up as a sacrificial lamb. And, you know, they were talking about strategies and stuff. And, you know, of course, they were talking about her medical problems. You know, she's a little bit nuts, you know, and all those kind of things. Well, anyway, this thing went out like hot water. And it turns out the recording was illegal. You know, the business that these guys were supposedly representing is now out of business. Sean Riley has basically not been heard from since, and Kurt Morrison ran to California and is heading there, supposedly going to law school, you know, so he could start fighting this stuff. I guess he's going to be a lawyer now, you know, whatever, you know, but the point is that this kind of crap just doesn't work. But this is how desperate Alice in Wonderland Grimes' campaign is. Apparently, Mitch McConnell, I mean, imagine this, a Republican conservative senator, Mitch McConnell is in a meeting, sponsored by the Koch brothers, Charles and David Koch, okay? And yeah, I know you're supposed to say Coke, but I say Koch. I don't care if you like it. But, you know, so he's at this, you know, meeting sponsored by these guys, you know, and there was a secret recording made of his comments. So in this big leak, and you can go to WFPO for this story, in this big leaked audio tape that was released yesterday by The Nation, you know, this Republican senator, conservative Republican senator, Mitch McConnell, dared to say at this gathering and vowed to block a raise to the minimum wage, tackling student debt, and extending unemployment benefits if he becomes a majority leader. This is damning evidence against conservative Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, according to the Alice in Wonderland group. Are you kidding me? They're trying to make this some kind of a major thing that Mitch McConnell has done. It's like this gotcha. They're trying to make this a gotcha moment, and there's nothing to get. This isn't anything Senator McConnell has not said every time he's asked anywhere, publicly, behind closed doors, in private. It doesn't matter. These are specific conservative principles or GOP principles. Not raising the minimum wage? Since when has somebody in a GOP not went out publicly and said they were against raising the minimum wage? They were against extending unemployment benefits. Is this a smoking gun? Is this what they are basing her whole candidacy on? Seriously, this is what drives me nuts about these idiots who think that they're political advisors or think they're doing something meaningful. Alice in Wonderland, you know, this woman is sinking so far down the rabbit hole right now, I haven't got a clue where she's going to end up. This is the stupidest non-issue story I think I have ever seen put out by a candidate in recent years. I mean, this is, to me, about as dumb as the Aqua Buddha moment that Jack Conway tried to use against Rand Paul. To me, it's that stupid. I just don't understand this. You know, so McConnell is telling this group, you know, that was put together by the Koch brothers, you know, that we're against unemployment, extending unemployment benefits, and we're against raising the minimum wage. Hallelujah. Gee, Mitch McConnell, you're a dirty dog for speaking what you've been saying for thousands of years now. You are kind of old. That's not a personal kick there, Mitch. You know, but I mean, it's the truth, though. I mean, that's the thing. This isn't anything. But that is how desperate the mainstream media apparently is. That is how desperate Democratic candidates are in this election All right? You've got the PPP, the public policy polling, trying to attack every GOP candidate through something that can't even be considered a poll in any way, shape, or form. On behalf of the Democrats, they try to destroy the GOP. You've got Alice in Wonderland Grimes at a national, you know, election cycle trying to go after a GOP senator. This is a smoking gun. This is what he said in private. It's the same damn thing he said in public too many times to count. This is how desperate the Democrats and the liberals are in this election. They won't go on stage with Barack Obama. We have Democratic governors and state reps that are Democrats who refuse to go on stage with Barack Obama. Oh, they'll meet him at the airport for a quick photo op, but they won't go on stage with him at any speech because they don't want this guilt by association thing. That's the truth. Make of it what you will. The Democrats know in this election they are facing a more serious challenge than they have faced in quite some time. And there's a very real possibility they're going to lose a lot of seats. Because for the first 5 years of Barack Obama's presidency, they spent all of their time kissing his butt, cramming through agendas, passing a health care bill. You know, you got to pass it so you can see what's in it. Right, Nancy Pelosi? You've got an obstructionist Democratic senator, majority leader by Harry Reid, who won't even put a bill up, even though it's been passed on a bipartisan basis from the House. He won't even present it to the Senate for a vote. He is obstructing everything in sight. The mainstream media, these idiots like Alice in Wonderland Grimes and these stupid, asinine, so-called secret recordings about policies that have been consistent for years. This is a purest sign of desperation I think we can come up with. I really believe that. There is no gotcha moment in there. There is no gotcha moment at all. It's disturbing. You know, this isn't like, and I'll agree with this too. Longtime political journalist Farrell Wellman, he's a former host of KET's Comment in Kentucky, told the whole world, McConnell is not telling people in Kentucky one thing and telling wealthy backers something else. These are the stands he has taken nationally for some time. There is no hypocrisy here. There is no hypocrisy here. And to think that this is the best that Alice in Wonderland's camp can come up with, we know she's a screwball. We know she hasn't got the qualifications to do the job she's got, much less do this one. We know that because as Secretary of State, she didn't even fill out the paperwork for her own damn company to solicit with the Secretary of State. Yes, she wants us to. We know she doesn't have the qualifications for the job she's in, and she wants to go to Washington? Come on. This is funny. You know, Kentucky is a conservative state for the most part, even though our House shows us, you know, with the Democrats in the House maintaining this control. But, you know, for the most part, Kentucky is a conservative state. That's why we continue to have a Republican Senate. The governorship and the state House are going to be Democrats. That's just the nature of the beast. But we make damn sure we keep a Republican Senate so that they can't run the gamut. They can't beat us. Okay? So, you know, that's your balance of power. And to think that Alice in Wonderland Grimes thinks that Mitch McConnell is sitting out there saying, well, we're against raising the minimum wage because that's just going to be bad for Kentucky, and thinks that that's a big news flash or a smoking gun, seriously? I would think that that campaign has a lot more to worry about than that. Let's go back to the Courier-Journal, for example. As we now know, we talked about this last week, Alice in Wonderland Grimes' camp is using a chartered bus from none other than her daddy, Jerry Lundergan, who was indicted and guilty of doing stupid stuff, you know, like, you know, giving dinners and stuff like that to people without going through the competitive bidding process required by the state when he was a rep in 1989. The only reason the damn thing got kicked back was because he was charged with a felony, and they believed that it should have been a misdemeanor, not a felony, so they kicked it back, and he got off, and that's the only reason. Not that he wasn't guilty, it's because they felt like a charging wrong. Fair enough. Well, now we're doing the same damn thing with this bus. As we told last week, the McConnell camp, since Alice in Wonderland Grimes is saying they're getting this bus for less than $500 a day, when everybody else in the country is spending between $1,500 and $2,200 a day for the same type of bus. McConnell Camp said, hey, guess what? We want to lease it on the day that you don't have it at the same price. Because what a lot of people don't know is if Mitch McConnell spends $10 for a campaign ad, Allison Lundgren and Grimes has to spend $10 for an ad on the same place. So if anybody comes here to advertise for politics, let's say Clear Channel or anything else, go to WHAS. If they charge this candidate this amount, then the other candidates have to pay that amount as well. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's as simplified as I can make it from that point of it, all right, from the point of paying for campaign ads. So if this company, if Jerry Lunigan's company is going to go ahead and let Alice of Wonderland Grimes rent this bus for, what, $486 a day or whatever it is, then guess what? Ms. McConnell has the same right to rent that bus on the days that she's not using it for the same price. It's that simple. And the fact that I haven't seen an answer from them on that from the McConnell camp yet is kind of interesting. However, as we know, Politico ran a story that said she was using this bus for less than the market rate, which doesn't surprise anyone considering her dad's history and his involvement with the Democrat machine in Kentucky. It doesn't surprise anybody here anyway. What is really interesting here is she has been going after Mitch McConnell for all this stuff and all these other different things. However, dun, 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 here's a real smoking gun. And it's not against Mitch McConnell. It's against Alice in Wonderland Grimes. They don't even have the proper permits required to even operate the bus that she is renting from her daddy on paper. You heard me right. They don't even have the permits. They're not allowed to carry people on that bus. That's it. Signature Special Event Services, which is a subsidiary of the Lundgren Group, her daddy, they own the bus. And that bus is only certified to haul equipment, not people. As a matter of fact, the Lundgren Group, their vehicles, all of their vehicles, they are only certified to haul equipment, not people. So if you want to go through here and play this smoking gun game, here it is right here. They are illegally using a charter bus at below market pricing, and they're illegally using it for what it is legally allowed to do, which is haul equipment to events, not people. And, of course, the Lundgren's can't be, you know, bothered with answering phone calls on this one. They just got caught. We're not making this up. Like I said, this story is coming from the Courier. All right, and this is verified by the State Transportation Cabinet. There is not one Lundgren company that is certified to transport passengers by taxi, limousine, or bus. So, you know, now here's the real kicker, though, and this is what the Lundgrens know. So they're going to get away with this, and they're going to save a little bit of permit fees for a while. But Chuck Wolf, a spokesman for the State Transportation Cabinet, said that once they find out that an operator is operating without the proper permits, and they had to throw this in, usually following a complaint from a competitor. You can get a complaint from anybody. Let's not try to spin this and everything else, guys. That's ridiculous. But, you know, we expect from the Democratic machine, right? But according to Chuck Wolf, if you get caught operating without the proper permits, you send the company a letter telling them that they have to apply for the proper permits and certifications. Whoopee! So you can operate illegally if you want to, anything you want to, according to Chuck Wolf. You can operate illegally for as long as you want to until one person finds out and turns you in. Then we're going to make you go ahead and apply for the certifications. Is there any penalty for that illegal behavior? No. None at all. And if the operator still fails to comply, which in this case would be the Lunds and Alice in Wonderland Grimes, if they still fail to comply and don't apply for the proper certifications, and he doesn't list a time frame here to do that, then they get sent a cease and desist letter, and then they have a judge send them a letter basically ordering them to stop business or ordering their business to stop operating illegally. So here's what happens. If today I call Chuck Wolf, or I call the State Transportation Cabinet, because Chuck Wolf is only a spokesman. So I call the State Transportation Cabinet and I say, hey, the guy across the street from me is using his car as a taxi and he's transporting passengers for a fee. And they tell me he's not licensed to do that, but we're going to send him a letter and tell him he has to apply for the license or certification or however they want to word it. He's going to get a time frame. He's going to get a time frame to respond to that. It's going to be 30 to 45 days probably. I'm just estimating because I have not looked at the law here in this particular area. But he's in the next 30 to 45 days or however long it is, it might be 60 days for all I know. But for however how long it is, he's going to continue operating illegally because he can. Because he can. There's no fines. There's no cease and desist. There's nothing that stops him from operating illegally until he reaches the end of that letter period and files for the certifications. But then you really get funny. Because at the end of that time period, who follows up to make sure he applied or he didn't apply? Or do you wait until you get another complaint that says that, you know, he's still doing it? So then you've got another month or two before you figure out that he's still doing it illegally. Now you've got 3 or 4 months down the road. And at the end of that 3 or 4 months, you have a judge that says, hey, you can't use that bus to transport people anymore. You can only transport equipment. So if you don't stop it, then we're going to have a legal problem. 3 or 4 months down the road, the election's over. Think anybody gives a shit at that point? So, you know, this is the thing. And it's very interesting to think that Alice in Wonderland Grimes seems to think that the smoking gun is Mitch McConnell saying that he will fight to keep from raising the minimum wage. A traditional GOP talking point that's been talked to death publicly. At the same time, illegally using this bus. Man, I tell you what. You talk about hypocrites and all the other stuff. Insert name here. This is what we get sick of. This is one of the other reasons. This is just one of the most prominent reasons why you can't elect Grimes. She can't do her job as Secretary of State, even on behalf of her own business. She can't follow the law and is illegally chartering this bus for less money. And you know, they're not going to admit that. I don't expect them to. But that's what's going on. This is her daddy. Her daddy's business is as a caterer. He buys the bus and gives it to her to use for her campaign. I mean, come on, folks. We're not stupid, are we? I mean, that's the way it is. And this is all okay and acceptable just as long as she gets the job and Mitch gets out of the job. I got news for you. If you got to be this dumb and you've got to sink to that level to get the job, I don't want you in a job in the first place. And I don't care who you are. That's just the way it is. So we've got to really look at this. And I want to point out one other thing here, too, real quick, because we really need to go. We're fast out of time. So I won't even give you a closing rant, but I'm going to tell you about this, though. A lot of people complain about the Koch brothers. Yeah, I know, Koch. We've talked about that. They scream and holler that Charles and David Koch are using their wealth to bend or break, you know, the American political system. Whatever they want, they're going to spend what it takes to get what they want. You know, mainstream media continues trashing these guys. And BenSwan.com really, really did an excellent expose today on that. And I'm glad they did, because these are some of the things that people really don't know. You know, if you look at the Koch brothers and you listen to mainstream media, these guys are the devil. They hate America. They hate poor people. They hate black people. They hate anybody that's not the upper 1%. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure that everybody else suffers because they have the money to do so. It's not exactly true. It's not exactly true. Because I tell you, the Koch brothers are also equal opportunity. They support a hell of a lot of liberal causes. Drug decriminalization. They want drugs decriminalized. They put a lot of money and time and effort into marriage equality. They want to cut defense spending, spend money, time, and effort in that. They have opposed the USA Patriot Act. You know, they've won 792 awards. Think about this. 792 awards for environmental quality, operational safety, community service, and philanthropy. Now, I'm telling you, I'm really kind of curious how these guys are portrayed so negatively by the mainstream media. Everything I just told you are liberal causes. These are Democrat causes they suppose they're for. And yet they continue to chastise the hand, you know, trying to bite the hand that feeds them. The Obama administration, through the EPA, the OSHA, Department of Agriculture, they have given many awards to Koch Brothers-funded companies. You know, it's crazy. And, oh, by the way, we've talked a lot about Ferguson, Missouri, and the shooting of Michael Brown. Did you know that the Koch brothers are at the front of the line fighting to stop this police militarization that's been going on for the last few years? Did you know that? This is the stuff mainstream media doesn't tell you, and this is the stuff that you need to know. So pay attention, folks. Do the research. That's it for tonight. I'm out of here. I will be back on Monday night with you guys, same time, same channel, 7 o'clock right here. Don't forget to tune in to my good friend Ken Molman and his Liberty Unbridled show, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And in the meantime, have a great weekend, folks. God bless you all, and thanks for listening. Take care.